Welcome to the MUFG Global Markets FX Week Ahead podcast with Derek Halpeny, Head of Research, Global Markets EMEA and International Securities. It's Monday, 26th July 2021, and in our preview of the week, we're discussing the major themes for the FX financial markets. The following podcast is intended for professional investors and eligible counterparties only, and not for retail clients. Any content should not be regarded as an offer to conduct investment business or an investment recommendation, but for information purposes only. Good morning, Derek. And what are the key themes first thing today?
Well, I think we're starting the week with some risk-off kind of trading in Asia related to new Chinese rules in China related to education and forcing companies to go to a non-profit model, which has hit education-related stocks in China. Now, that follows a very positive end to last week with the major US equity indices all finishing at record highs. So we're going into the big event of the week on Wednesday, which, of course, is the FOMC meeting in a backdrop of record levels of equity markets in the US, correction from last week's lower price action in markets on Monday. So there's still very positive sentiment in terms of evidence of appetite for buying on any kind of correction lower in US equities. So I think that will reassure the Fed going into this meeting. Now, the Delta variant has picked up. The risks are there. We just had the IFA this morning, which was weaker than expected. So some evidence there that maybe the Delta variant in Europe is beginning to undermine confidence to a degree. And figures in the US were picking up as well. So, you know, the Fed have to balance what is still very positive evidence of risk appetite, record equity markets, but at the same time, some building risks in relation to the Delta variant. Our own view is that, you know, the key metric, the key guidance about substantial further progress, the latest guidance from Chair Powell was that that was still a ways off. Now, that was at his testimony to Congress on the 14th of July. It followed the CPI data the previous day and the payrolls report at the beginning of July. Both of those were stronger than, much stronger than expected. Well, definitely the inflation was much stronger than expected, and the payrolls was better than expected. But still, we're a ways off. So I can't see, there's no justification for changing that specific guidance. But I think Powell on Wednesday can certainly give us an indication that we're still progressing, which will keep the markets believing that we're moving towards the laying out of a plan in terms of the tapering of quantitative easing. Now, of course, we've got Jackson Hole towards the end of August, between the 26th and the 28th. Then, of course, we've got the FOMC meeting in September. And between those two events, we might get to the point, if jobs and inflation don't come in surprisingly weak, we'll get to the point where the Fed might be comfortable in laying out a plan for tapering commencing. And I don't think this week will change that. And therefore, I would expect this week's FOMC meeting and the press conference to be somewhat supportive of yields in confirming that we're still progressing towards tapering. And I wouldn't expect a significant dovish swing at this point in time. Indeed, the Fed might be reassured by what's happening here in the UK and the fact that COVID figures are the infection rates on a daily basis are coming down. I'll come to that in a minute. So, yes, all in all, we wouldn't expect a dovish shift by the FOMC this week. Continue on the cautious confidence, not emphasize too much the increased Delta risks, but they will, of course, be acknowledged. That should be supportive for yields, and that, therefore, should be supportive for the US dollar. Now, the other point to mention here is just on positioning. And the IMM data that came out on Friday evening shows a further substantial liquidation of dollar short positions. When we look at asset managers, institutional investors, and leveraged funds combined, the two-week reduction in US dollar short positions was in fact the largest going back to 2013. So the market now, in our view, is a lot more balanced, and that should diminish the risks of any abrupt further gains for the US dollar. So, you know, an FOMC meeting this week that's supportive for yields and supportive for the dollar, I don't expect any kind of notable strengthening of the dollar, but it can certainly hold on to recent gains and maybe strengthen moderately further from here over the coming weeks.
And what else should we be looking out for this week, Derek?
Well, I touched on there just briefly the COVID situation here in the UK. And I do think it's important to highlight, because it could have global consequences as well. You know, it's quite clear that the governments have shifted away from a containment strategy, which has been in place throughout COVID, to something akin to looking for herd immunity. And given the high vaccination rates in the UK, there was justification to further reduce the restrictions from last Monday, the 19th of July, even though infection rates on a daily basis were picking up and epidemiologists were concerned about that and expressing risks of infections moving up to 100,000 cases per day. But we've now had five consecutive days of the daily rate of COVID infections coming down. And that's pretty significant. Now, there are some caveats in that. Firstly, the pingdemic, as it's called, does mean that restrictions are still there, despite last week the formal removal of a lot of restrictions. The NHS app pinging people and telling them to stay at home means that there's a lot of people self-isolating, nearly 610,000, according to the latest data. Also, the impact of so-called Freedom Day last Monday in terms of the removal of restrictions, maybe that's not yet in the data. So there are some caveats to the decline over the last 5 days. But most epidemiologists weren't expecting this. So there might be something else going on here. And if we don't get a rebound in daily infection rates this week, through this week, that would certainly be an indication that maybe the UK government have got it right, and their strategy was something that could be replicated by other countries with high vaccination rates. And that opens up, I think, the potential for some risk on, where the concerns about Delta diminish because there's an assumption that the success that's unfolding in the UK could be replicated in Europe and to a degree in the United States. Now, a lot of ifs and buts, I do admit that. but, you know, clearly some tentative signs of good news in terms of the COVID data in the UK and what that might mean in terms of government strategies going forward. And it would certainly help, I think, diminish those risks that have been building in recent weeks and certainly was one of the macro catalysts for the decline in yields in the United States.
And then finally, Derek, what trade ideas are your research desk highlighting this week?
Well, our run of late hasn't been great. We've had a few trades which were stopped out. So we kind of ran a week of nothing in terms of trading ideas published. But we looked at it again on Friday and we've established a short Aussie dollar, long Kiwi dollar position. Now, that's based on admittedly what is kind of a consensus view now at the moment, which is the potential for this widening of monetary policy divergence between Australia and New Zealand. But we still think there's more to go in that. Now, Aussie dollar has been coming down as markets start to position for that. But of course, the COVID situation in Australia has worsened. There's now prospects that the RBA could, you know, hold back on a further tapering of quantitative easing and could signal greater concerns over the short-term impact for the Australian economy. And that could, in effect, push out expectations about any kind of meaningful change in monetary policy. Whereas, while a real lurch lower in global risk would have implications for RBNZ policy as well. Assuming that doesn't happen, we think the scope for the RBNZ to alter course is much, much less. And of course, last week, New Zealand announced a closure of borders in terms of allowing Australian citizens into New Zealand, which will be in place for 8 weeks. So while that might have some economic impact, it also isolates New Zealand from COVID risks. And I think given the strength of data from New Zealand of late and the RBNZ's most recent guidance, we think that divergence in monetary policy could have more to go, and therefore further moves to the downside in Aussie dollar versus New Zealand dollar, we think is a logical trade idea to put out. So that's what we'll be focusing on in terms of trades this week.
Great, thanks very much for that insight, Derek. Have a good week, and we'll speak to you soon.
Thank you, Una.
Thank you for listening to this MUFG Global Markets podcast. Rate, review, and subscribe, and reach out to your MUFG sales rep for more information. Come back next week for more insights from the Global Markets Research Team.